We kick off hour number three, Wednesday edition of the program. So we head toward Mississippi State, Tennessee, noon kick on Saturday. A lot going on at noon. Red River rivalry, which is awkward to say and makes me mad. The Red River Shootout, noon from the Texas State Fairgrounds. Have you seen the whole like back and forth between Jalen Hurts? Like he got asked, you know, like, hey, what's it going to be like, your first Red River Shootout? And he's like, I played in the Iron Bowl, like, no big deal. It's another big college football game. I got this. And then the
Texas fans are so butthurt about that.
Yeah, Texas defensive back was like, it's different. This is Texas. Like, you don't get it. It's like, okay, bro. Like,
I don't think that was him, like, downplaying the rivalry. I'm thinking that's just him saying, I've played for national championships. I've played in the Iron Bowl. Like, I've played third Saturday in October.
Is there any quarterback
we've played
more
Florida,
experienced
we played Auburn,
in college
we played
football?
Georgia. Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if anybody's seen the gamut of big games, like, I'm going to go ahead and say Jalen Hurts is probably, he's probably okay.
I mean, the guy's gotten benched to win a national championship. He's
come
back
off
to
the bench to win an SEC championship.
I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, so I think it'll be fine. Would you like to know the grades for Tennessee coming out of the Georgia game?
I don't know. Would I?
Well, I mean, they just are what they are. Like, I don't think you want – I mean, some players grade out better than others, so there's good news and bad news in all of these all the time. It doesn't really matter.
Well, let's just control the narrative and only talk about the good components.
No, this – come on, Davey. Pro Football Focus has their grades out for Tennessee, and these courtesy of Jesse Simonton, VolQuest.com, to view all the breakdown – and that good stuff. The offensive, I hate to admit this, Houston, but you've got the lead horse on offensive MVP, and it's not even close. Juwan Jennings with an 84.7. That's 11 points better than any other player on offense.
What?
I got Brian Maurer. I just now realized that.
Dang it. You do.
Yeah, but if he keeps throwing to Juwan, he ain't going to catch him. Juwan is good no matter who the quarterback is. That's the key.
I'm angry because I have Ty Chandler, and he's not getting used.
You should be angry. Not at him, but at the just lack of...
Jim Chaney. Jeremy Pruitt, what are you doing?
Lack of focus.
What are you doing?
Get him the ball. Of course, I also had Josh Palmer.
Ty, yeah, that was a rough pick. But Juwan, 84.7. That's right up there in the very good category. That's above the above-average starter category. 80 to 89, very good. 90 to 99 is elite. So he was an 84.7 against Georgia. Number one on the offense. Number one on the team, I think, actually.
Probably.
Yeah.
No one on defense is going to beat that number.
Yeah, no. Not even
You
close.
Said 94?
84.7.
84, I'm sorry. 84.
That was 11 points better than your number two on the team and on offense, Marquez Callaway with a 73.7.
Those two guys, I mean, credit Maurer for putting them in the catchable window, but they had a couple of just really nice snags. And, I mean, Juwan's touchdown catch was a great throw. It was a great grab in coverage. The deep ball to Callaway was obviously fantastic, but they both had some, you know, first down, turn around at the sticks, balls high and away, and they go up and just make a catch and get you a first down, too. Sticky hands.
I don't think you could guess who's number three on offense.
Tim Jordan.
Oh, you got it.
I'm so good at this game, man. He came in and ran well.
Yeah, 73.1. Then the two tight ends, Austin Pope and Dominic Wood Anderson, were next. Ty Chandler was after that. Ryan Johnson was your highest-rated offensive lineman at 61.8.
Good.
Barely in the average starter range. Brian Maurer was eighth. He clocked a 59.7, which is on the line between below average and average.
Man, the grades do not match my emotion far as how I would grade them. But, I mean, that's what's going to happen.
I know, and we're also, whenever we're looking back at Maurer's performance, we're mainly focusing on the first half.
First quarter and change, yeah.
So I would like to know what his numbers were if you take out the second half.
the rest of the offensive line was all below that. Brandon Kennedy was next. Then
I actually thought he had a good game too.
Trey
which is
Smith,
weird.
The worst two players out of the top 15 that played enough snaps were Darnell Wright and Wanya Morris.
Freshman against a really good defense. Not too surprising.
44.3 for Darnell Wright and a 29.9 for Wanya Morris.
Does the penalty count against him in that?
I don't know. Those are awful numbers. Trey Smith was a 56.
The penalty got picked up.
The personal foul did?
Not the personal foul. He's not the personal foul. He blocked him into the bench.
Did you hear Pruitt talk about that yesterday?
No. I did.
I thought he kind of handled it perfectly. He stood up for Wanya. He didn't throw the SEC officials under the bus, but he basically blamed them. He's like, well, okay, first of all, I'm glad we got guys that want to finish. He said 22 months ago when I got here, we didn't have offensive linemen that wanted to finish plays. And then he said, we do need the refs to blow the whistle if they want us to stop at the whistle, mm-hmm. which I just thought that was a pretty funny comment. He said, we're going to teach them, we're going to learn, but if they want us to stop at the whistle, they need to blow the whistle. So I guess maybe the play was still going or they fit. It did seem like, and I guess because they had a couple switches, right? Like the main ref had to go out with a calf strain, then in comes the next guy, then he had to go out. It seemed like a couple of plays were over and nobody had blown the whistle. I don't know if because there was a change, they weren't sure who was supposed to blow it, or if everyone was just thinking, oh, the other guy's going to blow the whistle, so I won't. But there were several times on Saturday night where the play's over, you know, running back stood up or down, and no whistle had blown, and then all of a sudden you'd kind of hear like the, you know, half-assed, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I don't know, like, it seems like that's a very important thing for people who don't have their eyes on the ball. Guys who are blocking with their back turned to the, you know, to the field, sending a guy to the sideline, like, you kind of need the whistle. And then it was weird to get flagged on that. And they showed the replay, and I could never see it.
No.
They just showed Wanya on the ground.
No, they didn't have video of it.
Didn't have it? Okay.
Wasn't that a pass play? That was the weirdest part to me. Why is Wanya blocking a guy out of bounds on a pass play?
I think the guy was in pursuit. Wasn't it a pass to the left? Maybe not a swing pass, like a short pass.
I need to go back and watch. I don't remember. That was the weirdest thing to me. I was like, why are you even down there? I don't know. It was odd.
But I'm with Pruitt. Like, I like the fact that you're trying to finish. There was a pretty cool segment. Patrick Murray did it last night, talking about how Wanya Morris, apparently he's just a big teddy bear, but he loves football, and he is trying to get meaner on the field. And apparently he said, you know, Trey Smith is our meanest, nastiest offensive lineman. So I've been talking with him and spending time with him about kind of how to turn it on on the field. And I thought that was pretty interesting. But basically he's kind of recognized already, I love this game, I'm pretty good at it, but if I can kind of develop the on-the-field mean streak, it's going to take my game to the next level. And, of course, he was trying and then gets flagged for it. Bogus. But I credit to Pruitt for sticking up for his freshman there, saying, look, I'll teach him what to do, and we'll learn if we make mistakes, but y'all got to do your job too.
You had seven players on offense that were average starter or better. That's a problem.
A lot of that's Georgia, too. I mean, they're going to make you look bad.
Yeah, I do wonder about that, too. Defense was not – it was
– well, it certainly couldn't be better.
Yeah. Well, you had more guys that were like
– higher?
Yeah, more guys above 60, but no one – like you had one player above in the 70s, and that was Kerrock Garland with a 71. So, like, yeah, it was – you had nobody playing top end. Nigel Warrior was second.
I was going to say, I thought that was maybe the best game I'd seen him
69.4.
play.
69.4. Trayvon Flowers was next. Then you had Crouch,
Flowers,
Butler.
Really?
Yeah. Crouch, Butler, Middleton, Alante Taylor, Daryl Taylor, Kenneth George, Latrell Bumpus.
Daryl Taylor.
And then guys in the 50s, Theo Jackson, Bryce Thompson. Guys in the 40s, Greg Emerson. Guys in the 30s, Henry Toto and Daniel Batuli.
Did it feel like Hank and Batuli had that bad of a night? I mean, I know they kind of ran it all over you, and they
part
didn't
of
really
the
coverage probably.
Part of the commentary is Toto had a couple good stops on some short yardage plays, which makes you think he had a good game, but he had some really bad fits against other run plays.
Gotcha.
And I think he was targeted three times in the pass game, all three. Three completions on three targets for 65 yards.
That'll do it.
Our guys can't cover. I mean, they're, you know, we got one guy's really young and one guy's always been a thumper with a bad knee. Like,
No, you mentioned it yesterday. The injury to Batuli has
a killer.
It just seems like it really shifted what they were wanting to do defensively. Because I'm with you. I think they wanted to send him a lot more.
Mm-hmm. To use him
in a lot of different. And now he's just kind of been relegated to your typical middle linebacker role. And I just don't know that that's where he. I think Batuli is a see ball, get ball kind of guy. And I don't know that, you know, when he kind of just has to do one thing, go get him, I think he's really good. But I think, yeah, having to be, I don't know, maybe it's him having to be the kind of the coach on the field too, but it seems like the more responsibility he has, the more he has to maybe get mixed in on coverage or certain things like that. Yeah, he's not flying around as fast as he was, and he's just not as fast as he was because of the knee injury. Is that going to be a thing that could get better as we move forward, or is he just going to have a sore knee the whole season? Meniscus, we think, right?
That's what we thought. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd get better. I don't. It's probably not going to get better, though, playing every snap of every game, which is why Crouch has got to get some running inside linebacker to get Batuli off the field some. Right? I mean, that's. Knees typically don't get better unless you take some time off. I mean, they had the bye week, but I don't know.
When's the next bye week? Oh, it's. Before Missouri and Kentucky,
last
right?
Two, yeah.
Before Missouri and Vanderbilt.
Speaking of bye weeks, for your next five opponents,
I saw this stat you posted yesterday.
Three of the teams you have to play have a bye week before you play them. That would be Mississippi State, UAB, and Kentucky.
Kentucky having a bye before you go up there, that's not good.
No, that sucks.
Of course, they're not very good either.
Yeah, maybe that's a good way to look at it.
And our bye week is before...
Is it for Missouri?
That's right. It's for the
last
that two
long
games.
Road trip. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Not too bad.
No, it's not terrible.
We'll come back. It's hour three rolling along here on Fan Run Radio. Stick with us. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. We really need to do the In the Break podcast.
I feel like it wouldn't be the same if we knew we were being recorded.
You get used to it eventually, right? Then just not worry about it?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I've gotten used to just being recorded now, like during the show. I mean, at first, that was nerve-wracking. Now I just don't give a bleep.
Well, you do, because you just said bleep.
Yeah. Well, that's just called being a professional, Houston.
I don't know anything about that.
As I look at Davey's face.
We are a professional radio show. We take everything very seriously.
Why so serious?
Because it's our job, Davey. I was saying that as you asked the question. Just let me finish, man. Golly. Yeah.
It's getting there.
Let's put a smile on that face. There's fight in you. I like that.
Only 9 more minutes till you get to draw your helmet, Houston.
Oh, gosh. I'm ready.
You ready?
No.
You want to pull out a nice Gamecock Garnet helmet on the road at Sanford Stadium? That would be great.
No.
How will you feel if you pull Tennessee?
Yeah, it's 50-50.
You don't want A&M?
No, don't want A&M.
Vanderbilt's a 15-point favorite at home against UNLV, but that still could get dicey.
Man, how bad must UNLV be? Good gracious.
Well, they're 1-4. I don't even know they've played. Ole Miss plays Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Florida LSU.
I think Ole Miss could maybe give Missouri a game. I think
John Reese Plumlee.
What's the latest on Kelly Bryant?
It's not
Bryant?
Reese either. It's Rice.
It is Rice Plumlee?
Rice Plumlee.
Rice.
According to SEC Insider, which I watched on Ole Miss because I was hoping that Saturdays in the South show would come on at 9. Or it would come on at 8, but it didn't come on until 9, so I ended up watching Ole Miss, their little video thing. I didn't realize that kid's so fast.
Who?
Rice Plumlee?
Yeah, dude, he's a runner.
He hits the open field, and it's a track meet breaks out.
He's been their leading rusher since he took over.
Crazy. Yeah, and Corral, which that's how you say his name apparently, which seems weird. But anyway.
Corral?
I think that's
like
how
put
said
the horses in the corral?
I think that's what the guy said on the
I thought
show.
It was Coral.
Maybe it was Coral. No, Coral's the way I thought it was. It was different. Anyway,
okay.
He was apparently healthy last game.
Thanks for that tip.
They just didn't put him back in. They just went with the freshman.
He's a big kid for a freshman. He's built.
Is he? I thought he was smaller and faster.
I'm just saying, he's not like Maurer like, looks like a freshman.
Like thick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, muscles and stuff.
Muscles, glasses, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Look out. I think Ole Miss, they're sneaky. And if we don't...
No watermelon head.
Well, we don't know anything about Bryant. I have not heard a word about him this weekend.
I haven't either.
Or this week. About this weekend. Which leads me to believe maybe it's more serious than they want to admit.
Rice Plumlee, 6'1", 185.
Looks bigger. he got the double thick pads on.
Kelly Bryant will play in leg brace against Ole Miss.
There you go.
So nothing changes. He had a leg brace on the knee when he got hit.
Good point by you.
An extra knee brace? Like, are they doubling up? They going robo leg?
Two knee braces. Kyle Trask got a massive brace on his knee when he came back in.
Boy, they can't lose him. I don't know how. They probably just roll Emory Jones out there and keep winning.
Yeah. How did I was wondering, even after he played, if, like, this week, midweek, we'd be like, oh, yeah, and by the way, Kyle Trask has a torn ACL, and he just was so mad and angry and juiced up that he came back in that game.
I could have seen that if they hadn't called the QB power. I feel like it.
The
like
throwback to him.
If he's like, my knee really hurts, I think something's torn, they're probably not going to call it. Yeah, the throwback pass and the QB power to your boy Trask.
Well, Mullen said after the game, he thought it was a sprained MCL, I think is what he said. So they must have told him that pretty like during the game, because this was the post-game interview right after. Like, he wasn't even to the media thing yet.
Okay. I buy that.
Mullen. Goodness.
All the guy does is figure it out.
Man,
steals points and wins games.
It was annoying, especially because he's so kind of dorky and corny. And their strength and conditioning guy would drive me nuts. He's a guy whose voice is permanently damaged because he screams all the time.
Like Butch?
Yeah, like Butch.
Is it kind of like Hort?
Yeah. He's always yelling. But I watched the Florida, that 24/7 thing on HBO, and you could see how Dan Mullen gets his guy, like, everything is done a certain way, and he talked about the quarterback position, and it's still the huge question mark I have about our coaching staff at Tennessee. Like, are we ever going to get quarterback right? Like, if Harrison Bailey comes in next year, how early is he ready to play? Is he better than Brian Maurer next year? Is, you know, Garantano still, like, what do they do?
Worried at all about scaring Bailey off if Maurer plays well?
No.
I would hope not.
That's the dumbest argument I've ever heard, and a bunch of people keep making it on, like, Twitter and message boards. It's stupid. We're scared a guy off because we found a better option? That's like Clemson saying, Trevor Lawrence, why don't you go somewhere else because we got, what's the kid?
Hunter Johnson.
Hunter Johnson. Like, come on. No, you stack them up, you make them compete, and you get the best one out of the bunch. And even if that still turns out to be one at a time, so what?
And if it's a player that doesn't want to have the competition, I mean, do you really want that guy
anyway?
They're
not good. They're never good if they're scared of the competition. Think about all these guys that keep transferring around. I mean, Justin Fields is the only one I can think of right now that has transferred and been really good at his other stop. And the guy that continued to keep him on the bench, Jake Fromm, Brian Maurer is as good as Jake Fromm, so we don't get Harrison Bailey. Crap. Like, that's not a thing. Like, if Brian Maurer's not that good and it scares Harrison Bailey off, then neither one of them are going to be good. If Brian Maurer is, like, has a Heisman performance on Saturday and that scares away Harrison Bailey, then you have a Heisman Trophy-level quarterback, and I'm fine with that, too. It's just, it's stupid. And I don't think the coaches, for one second, think that way. I mean, I
hope not.
We talked, Pruitt talks about the quarterbacks just like every position, every other position. You got to get guys to compete and push each other. So, no, I don't think so. But
I hope not. It's just weird to me how, and maybe he really wasn't ready. It is just weird how so gung-ho they were about not playing Maurer.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think, you know, your back's against the wall as far as the season goes. It's like, well, got to play the best guy now. This is all hypothetical. I guess it could have been Garantano the whole time. But it seems like we saw enough in the first few games to say, probably need to give somebody else a shot. And then it took a bye week to get Maurer time.
Well, I can see how I mean, I can see how Mullen structures his team and his offense so that the quarterbacks succeed. I mean, he, you know, that was how the whole thing operates. And I don't know, it felt pretty genuine at Florida. I know it's all doctored up for TV, and that doesn't really mean anything. And you probably could have made Butch Jones look genuine early in his tenure here. But I mean, Florida has the results on the field now through, you know, a year and coming up on a year and a quarter, and the same stint Jeremy Pruitt does. And you can see why Dan Mullen has been a successful coach at Mississippi State and is having success at Florida. We'll come back with more. It's hour three. Houston gets to draw his helmet for SEC Survivor coming up this weekend. That's next. It's that time, 2 days early. Houston's going to be out the next couple days. Malcolm Harris will be in for him.
I think if he sits in this chair, he should just have to play.
Oh.
I think if I miss Friday, I just shouldn't have to play the game.
No, that's not how it works.
Yeah, I think it should be.
No, you created the game. You made Billy play, and he's out all week.
I am the commissioner.
That's not how it works.
All decisions are final. Complaints in writing, please, to my secretary.
With 30 days notice.
Yeah, I like that there's only one team playing that is not going up against another SEC team.
And they might lose. I mean,
they're probably two touchdown favorites. Surely Vanderbilt can't mess this up.
I mean, I've seen another other SEC teams be 20 plus points favorites and not pull it off.
Okay.
The Georgia helmet feels really safe. South Carolina feels really bad, even though it's an SEC game. Other than that, though, it's pretty. I don't know. Alabama, A&M. There's some safety blankets and some death nails. It's pretty even.
Yeah.
Pretty even Steven this week.
Even Steven this week.
Yeah, nice 50-50.
Yeah.
Way to go here.
Davey, I've been informed that you are now affiliated with The Drive.
What?
Okay. So,
and
I'm also part of the Talk Sports Death Pact, where if Tennessee doesn't get at least three wins, Cody kills everybody. So, we got to get it to four.
Four? No, I feel like you're safe.
No, they have to get to four.
Yeah, I feel like you're safe. I feel good.
Okay.
Wait, maybe it's if we only win four. Oh. No, that's what it was. Yes, we got to get to five.
Four,
have
fewer.
To get to five. Yeah,
to five.
I think he's offing himself if we only get five. If we get four, he's killing everyone, then offing himself.
George Duvall said, back to the topic from earlier about scaring off recruits. Yeah, scaring off recruits is Bama's biggest problem, and it shows.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be affiliated with our show anymore?
Being affiliated with the entire station. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, my allegiance when it comes to sporting events as far as the station component, I'm three and out through and through.
Just making sure.
3-0-F-L.
Well, he's voluntary reaction. He's now The Drive. He's three and out. We got him on the blitz.
Got to get him on some Tennessee tailgate.
I mean, he's all over the place.
We got to get you one appearance on Tennessee tailgate before the year's out.
Overtime. Got to get him on overtime, too.
I mean, I started on overtime years ago.
Back in the day.
Back in my day.
Tennessee tailgate will broadcast live Saturday from 10 until 11 on the strip leaderboard. You can swing by and say hi to Brandon and the boys.
I'm probably... Well, I guess that's next week. I was going to say next week I'm sleeping until noon since voluntary reaction is going to be such a late start time.
Watch party for Alabama at Elkmont Exchange, 9 o'clock.
Man, that's late.
At least it's Saturday, I guess.
True.
I don't know. I went to watch NFL football on a Sunday a couple weeks ago. That was made Monday rough. I mean, we left kind of at the end of halftime, but still. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Should have started shaking those up an hour ago. Save some time.
You gotta get the sound effects.
That's true. So which helmets do I not want? Like, who is the...
You don't want A&M.
South Carolina.
Probably don't want Florida.
Florida.
I wouldn't feel awful with Florida, but I'd much rather have LSU.
And A&M, yeah, you said it.
That line's moving up for LSU. They're at 13.5 last I saw.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess I'm ready.
You ready?
Yeah.
Houston reaches his hand into the box to draw out his helmet, and he's got
Georgia. I'm so good. I'm so good at this game.
Man. Billy Drew, Arkansas. That's not a bad one.
Who did they get?
Not Kentucky.
Who does Arkansas play?
Kentucky? Let me check. Yeah, I was right. Okay. Arkansas on the road at Kentucky.
What's the line on that one? Have you seen it?
No.
Yeah, I feel pretty good having Georgia this week. Man,
That's a good draw.
What a season. What a season. Just feels so good. I might go take a look at some of these SEC lines. I'm interested to see where they are this week.
I feel good.
Do I need to pick my passer rusher blowout too? Should I go ahead and do that?
I mean, you forgot to text it to us last time.
I knew I had already won, so it didn't really matter.
You can go ahead if you want.
Okay, let's see what we got here.
You can text it to us later. Either way.
I'll take Tua. Tua, I feel pretty good about Tua. That's a lock. That's a lock. Oh, God. Running backs this year in the league are just not very... It's been pretty difficult. Tua.
Kylan Hill.
No, I can't do it. Part of me wants to, but I just won't. Tua, DeAndre Swift, and the biggest blowout will be...
Didn't you say last week that
Georgia over South Carolina?
Okay, I'll give you that. But you weren't going to pick Swift again?
I said that.
Nate said that. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I did not say that.
Swift's a really dumb pick. He'll never lead week rushing.
Why is that?
They split the carries too much. Like, even if they rush for 300 yards,
all he needs is a break is one big one.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I think Tennessee will do a pretty good job on Kylan Hill. Bama has a rotation of backs. That's not going to work. I guess maybe Keyshawn Vaughn.
Rice maybe. Plumlee.
I'm thinking Plumlee again, yeah.
No, Missouri's got a pretty good defense. They won't give that up. They wouldn't do that. I mean, Rakeem Boyd against Kentucky, their D-line's not very good. Everybody else, I mean, it's all UNLV. I just said that. Oh, it's sorry. All running back by committee outside of Vanderbilt, but do you trust a Vanderbilt anything? And like I said, I drew Georgia, so I really don't care.
Yeah, figured as much.
Does it make you guys just that mad when I'm this good at the game?
I don't care.
No, because it did a little bit last year, but
was I good at this game last year?
No, I just mean in general when you would pull a helmet where there's no chance of you really losing.
Because you want me to lose?
Yeah,
that's friendly.
Of course, I want as much losing as possible.
Yeah.
No, but. Well, I kind of like people pulling these types of helmets, too, because at some point, one of these is going to go down the wrong way. Like, it hasn't really happened yet, but like at some point, a 20-point favorite is going to lose. I don't think it'll be this one, but at some point, it'll happen, and that'll make it great because you'll feel safe, and then you'll lose. But it really doesn't
matter.
Georgia's
a 24.5-point favorite over South Carolina.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not this week.
Yeah. But it doesn't really matter until you draw the punishment. You know, like,
true.
If you, yeah. I mean, I could, like, Davey could lose 3 weeks in a row, and not really get that bad of a punishment, not that big a deal. You could go 2-1, and your one loss just be something off.
True.
Here are my punishments so far: Tin Man, Smoothie Roulette, the worst. Sardine Sliders,
not good.
Spray Tan,
makeup.
See, he's
5 of 6.
It's more about pulling good punishments than it is you and good teams.
I mean, that you've lost 5. Out of 6 weeks.
This is correct.
Also,
I'm going to have won 6 out of 7.
So that means we've had a punish. The 1 week I didn't get punished, you got punished. So that's kind of the trend we have going.
It's not looking good for you this week, old bud, with me getting Georgia.
I also am not as mad because I've had a pretty good year.
You have had a pretty good
year. If I was like Davey.
Have you had one? Just one? Two.
Nate had the raw onion and the death by ping pong.
Oh, I forgot the ping pong.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the ping pong one, too.
That's only one game back.
That's not bad.
If I'd make
and
a
Billy
good pick
got is he only lost one?
Yeah.
Wow. Banana split. Yeah.
He's on the.
That's like the easy. Like
he's on the block this week.
He's got.
Like,
yeah.
I don't feel good about Arkansas on the road.
How could you? I don't see a line for that game. I don't know if there is one. I'm just rolling right along. Interesting lines around college football this week. Oklahoma, an 11.5-point favorite in the Red River rivalry. I actually thought that would be a little bit more, but I don't know, maybe. Right. This game's always weird. It always seems like the favorite gets beat by 12 in this game, and I don't know how that always happens. It just seems like every single time a team rolls into the Red River Shootout, just on fire, boom, something weird happens, a couple early touchdowns, turnovers, just stupid stuff, and then they end up losing by, like, a significant amount.
I'm going to have to get some money in on App State tonight. It's even.
I mean, they got?
They're on the road.
Who
Louisiana
they
Lafayette.
Oh, Louisiana Lafayette. Even, really? Yeah. That's a surprise. As I mentioned, Georgia, 24.5-point favorite. Tennessee now a 7-point underdog. Missouri is a 12-point favorite against Ole Miss. I would be inclined to take Ole Miss in that game. That's kind of a surprise. Kentucky, your point about Billy here, Kentucky is a 6.5-point favorite at home against Arkansas. That game seems like it should probably be a little bit closer. I don't know if either of those teams are very good. You mentioned Vanderbilt, 14.5-point favorite over UNLV. LSU is still a 13-point favorite. It's kind of stuck there for Florida. Davey, I think you mentioned this earlier. I think this opened at 13. Did you say Bama 16.5? Because I've got it at 17 now, according to my bookie.
Yeah, that wasn't on my bookie that I saw. That was just, I was on ESPN.
But it was 16.5?
Correct.
So I guess, so the money's just kind of pouring in on Alabama there, which is far from surprising. Notre Dame, 10.5-point favorite over Southern Cal at home. I think I would have expected that one to be a little bit bigger. My lone, well, Florida counts. I just don't think they're a contender. But my undefeated playoff team, Penn State, only a 4-point favorite on the road against the Hawkeyes.
Mm.
That's kind of scary. Clemson, 27-point favorite at home over Willie Taggart and Florida State. You hate to see it.
I forgot. So, Iowa got beat last week against Michigan in just an atrocious game, 10-3.
There's been a couple of those this year. Just awful, awful football games.
I don't feel good about Texas against Oklahoma, so that basically just leaves me with Alabama.
At least you got Bama.
Do you need to make any waiver picks for your college football teams, playoff?
It's a good question.
And what do we do with Billy on this?
I'm trying to think.
Where
I mean,
was he on the list?
Auburn lost, but I actually think Auburn
Billy's
is,
last, so.
I feel like this loss for Auburn might be exactly what they need.
Mm.
If they can run the table, beat Bama, beat LSU.
Yeah, that loss won't matter.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I think I'm going to hang on to Auburn and Florida, of course, even though I think both of them are probably due for another loss.
Billy's not going to make a move. All of his teams are undefeated.
Okay.
And I'm definitely not going to drop Georgia, and I'm not going to drop Penn State. I may change that after this week if they lose to Iowa, because Iowa does, they do this every year. A, Iowa's pretty good this year, and B, they always jump up and beat one of Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State every single year in a game you don't expect.
Well, I'm first still, though, right? Because I haven't made a move. I'm going to.
Yeah, you're first
on
the wire.
So, I mean.
You staying?
Yeah, because, I mean, the best team on the board is Utah, right?
Yeah.
Or Boise State, but I'm not taking them. But I already have Oregon, who's ahead of Utah in that conference.
This would have been a good year for Boise State to schedule one decent opponent and have a chance because.
They did schedule Florida State, and it just happened to be Florida State was terrible.
That's true. That's a good point. And that was scheduled probably, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago when Florida State was halfway damn decent? Ah, you hate to see that from Boise State. That's unfortunate. I wonder if the committee would like take that into account. Like, yeah, you didn't play anybody good, but you tried. You tried. Participation trophy? Participation playoff? No? Okay. It was worth a shot.
Yeah, then getting a New Year's Six.
I haven't watched Boise. Bowl. Are they pretty good? I mean, they were down pretty big to Florida State and came back.
Yeah.
So I give them credit for that. But to be down big to Florida State this year is not the most ringing endorsement you can have.
Right. Right.
At all. They stink.
I mean, they're probably the best non-Power 5 school in the country.
This year, yeah. Not in, without question. UCF's fallen off. It was a short reign, but a happy one.
Mm-hmm.
And now they started scheduling some big boys in the future, and that was just a huge mistake.
I think Boise State and UCF have a matchup scheduled for the future.
Really?
Yeah.
Like this year?
Not to play this year, but they scheduled it like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, gotcha. Who else did UCF recently schedule for the future? Oklahoma?
I don't remember.
Mm. It's a good question.
They were trying to do that Florida neutral site game or something, and Florida wanted what, like two home games, one neutral site game, or it was something really weird. I thought it was just announced that UCF was scheduling a big boy for a home and home or a neutral site, and I can't remember who it was now. I want to say Oklahoma, but it might not be.
I mean, the Boise State UCF matchup was announced on September 24th.
I'll see if I can find. Maybe that's it. I didn't think that was it, but oh well.
I'm pulling up their future.
There was a tweet yesterday about UCF scheduling Florida A&M, and people were making fun of it. I don't know if maybe that's what you're remembering, but anyway. We'll come back. Final segment of the program. Yeah, it sounds like there won't be any playoff team shakeup, and Houston and Billy are out for NFL Eliminator, so Davey and I'll do that tomorrow. Final segment of today's program. Right back at you next.
Shut up.
Final segment of the program. Keep in mind that The Drive is broadcasting live from Smoky Mountain Brewery this afternoon.
Burger Day!
3 to 6. $6 Burger Days at Smoky Mountain Brewery, Turkey Creek. Swing out, hang out with The Drive.
They also have Cold Mountain Light and Cherokee Red on tap. I love that Cherokee Red. That's a good beer.
I like both those, yeah. Both those are good.
The winter wheat is good when they have it.
Really?
You ever had it?
I don't think I've tried it.
It's like their Blue Moon. I actually like it better than Blue Moon. It's incredible.
You like it better than Blue Moon?
It's good.
I'm a big wheat fan.
They have some really good beers. Mm. Sneaky good. Sneaky good. They're like the oldest brewery in Knoxville.
Really?
Or maybe in East Tennessee. Yeah, they've been brewing beer there for a long time.
Hmm.
And the burger deal on top of that. I mean, what's better than a burger and a beer? On a Friday night?
Not much.
Oh, sorry, Wednesday. My Friday. Wednesday. Yeah. My bad.
Random note. I just think this is interesting. Wanted to put this out there. But in just 5 games, Joe Burrow is closing in on LSU's single-season touchdown record.
Is that not, like, the least surprising thing ever? Like, when's the last time LSU had a quarterback that you were scared of? And Joe Burrow is lighting it on fire.
Joe Burrow has 22 touchdowns so far. Do you want to take a guess at what the record is for LSU?
Touchdowns in a season?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess, let me think real quick. Jamarcus Russell, and it's probably like 27.
It's 28.
Was it Jamarcus Russell?
I don't know.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, it doesn't really.
He has 22, and the record's 28. Hell, he might get, he won't get 6 this weekend. Florida's pretty good defensively. But he can run around a little bit, too. That's what makes him so sneaky. Not hard to see why Urban Meyer really, really liked him. I wonder what would have happened if he had stayed at Ohio State. Does he beat out Justin Fields? Probably, maybe.
I don't know.
Fields is having a really good year up there. They've been a very slow starting team, but then they get it going. Watching them against FAU was like, it was like watching a high school team play a peewee team. The speed and size was just outrageous.
Urban Meyer talked on Cowherd's show about the battle between Joe Burrow and Dwayne Haskins and how close it was for selecting Haskins over Burrow. And I mean, Haskins
didn't Cowherd also ask him
how the guy got out of Ohio because he didn't realize Joe Burrow was actually at Ohio State? Yeah,
he asked Urban Meyer if he recruited Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
it's like he
completely whiffed.
This is Cowherd. I mean, this is.
Yeah,
Colin.
He's got 37 producers, 26 stat guys, and he's like, did you recruit Joe Burrow?
How did he get out of the state of Ohio?
I didn't see the answer, but if I was Urban, I was like, buddy, he committed to me, and I coached him, and then he transferred when I quit. Fired. I was just like, how do you do that if you're Colin Cowherd? I mean, it's like when Stephen A. said Dwayne Haskins more of a runner, and who was the other guy? Wasn't Allen, was it? Was it Josh Allen? Like, oh yeah, pocket guy. And Allen's way more of a runner than Haskins.
Yeah,
is.
I don't remember.
It's just bizarre to me. People like you're at the top of your profession and you don't know simple things like this.
Jamarcus Russell and Matt Mock both had 28.
Oh, Matty Mock had 28. Okay.
So 03 and 06.
You know, Davey, what we can do while we're listening to the drive and eating our burger and drinking our beer, Smoky Mountain Brewery. Cardinals Braves 5:00 first pitch, man. I've seen a lot of Braves fans really nervous today.
Well, of course you're nervous. The season could be over today. I'm sure Cardinals fans are nervous, too. It's been a good series. The games have all been close, and there's been a comeback, I think, in just about every single one.
Who's on the mound for the Braves?
Folky, I think.
They're going to ride him for nine innings? If they have to go to the pen, bad things happen. Just saying.
Yeah.
You going to take the Braves tonight?
Folty's 1-0 in the series.
I know you want – I think you want them to win. I don't know. Your daughter's a big Cards fan.
Yeah, my daughter's
Can you root against
fan.
The Braves and go well, home to her?
My son pulls for the Braves. I mean, it's
– So you just ride the fence?
It's a split – I just get excited anytime either team gets a hit, kind of when they're watching.
Because they get excited?
I really don't
You get
care.
Excited for
I really
them.
Don't care that much. Yeah.
I mean, I want the Braves to win, obviously. I mean, I'm not like a diehard Braves fan, but they're my major league team.
I kind of like both those teams. I don't have a diehard pull. I don't know, it's kind of whatever.
Cardinals.
Fans. Nationals play the Dodgers tonight. Another game five. Mm-hmm. Nat's going for the big upset on the road in L.A., and they've got their horse, Steven Strasburg, on the mound. 1-0 so far on the series in the series.
Also, the Rays tied the series up 2-2 with the Stros, who were everybody's pick to win the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that one guy put $4 million on the Astros to win it all.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. He put $4 million on it?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet he feels sick tonight.
The Rays had a relay play off the center field wall last night that was just a thing of beauty. I mean, the guy, it one-hopped, he caught it, he fired to the cutoff man, who then just laser-beamed it right to the plate.
Love lasers.
Cut down the runner.
Big laser.
Pretty incredible. Next 2 days, no Houston. I guess we can talk a lot all the baseball we want, Davey.
Numbers will be through the roof.
What are you talking about? I'm the fan who dislikes baseball the most.
We'll ping Malcolm Harris on that tomorrow. You don't want to miss it as we head towards Mississippi State.
He's going to make me look like a baseball idiot.
Tune in tomorrow.
Maybe a good thing.
Swing out and see the drive later today. The Blitz is next right here on Fan Run Radio.
Bye.